Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. So glad you're with us on this Wednesday, this hump day. We'll get you through the middle part of the week and send you into the back half of the week with Thursday and Friday just around the corner. Don't forget, coming up Friday night on the Big X, as we do every week during the high school football season, we have 5+ hours of local coverage ready for you of high school football. Week 9, it's the final week of high school football across the state of Indiana, and then playoffs begin. We talked some earlier in the week about the sectional pairings, the state tournament pairings that came out on Sunday. Of course, the big game this Friday to wrap up the regular season. Locally, it's New Albany and Floyd Central, a rivalry game, both teams in the Hoosier Hills Conference. I guess theoretically, both teams could play again in a few weeks down the line in the sectional semifinal, actually the sectional championship game. Floyd got the bye. New Albany has to play in the first round. That would require New Albany to win a couple weeks of games and Floyd Central to win a tough semifinal against Bedford, but it's possible. But the two rivals will hook up to finish the season. A lot of bragging rights on the line. I guess you could say New Albany has a decent chance to win the sectional, given they came within 1 point of Columbus East and one point of Bedford North Lawrence. But to beat both of those teams in the course of a few weeks is obviously a tough job. So for Floyd Central, they're obviously not going to be picked by anybody, I would think, to win the sectional. So some bragging rights on the line. If you aren't going to win a conference championship, you're not going to win likely a sectional championship, this is a game to close out the regular part of your schedule with a lot of fans in the stands and a lot of interest in that game. So that's the big game, as it is each year, to wrap up week 9 of high school football in the area. We'll cover that game. We'll have updates from other contests as well. I'll be in studio with score updates all night long. We have our kickoff show at 6 o'clock. And when all the games are final, our Extremenasium scoreboard show to give you scores and highlights, interviews with media and coaches both sides of the river. We cover all the big games in that scoreboard show, so make sure you join us Friday night. If you're at a game, great. Take your iPhone and stream us. Take your radio and listen. If you're not at a game, listen to us while you're out and about, or listen to us for sure on your way home with our scoreboard show. So just a quick plug for that. We really have tried to get some different things going in our coverage of high school football and still perfecting it, but appreciate you tuning in and supporting all the local teams. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. I'll have Hoosier headlines, our news of the day, to start the show here in segment number 1, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. In the headlines today, we'll take a look at IU and where they're picked in the unofficial media poll that always comes out just before the Big Ten Media Day, which, by the way, is tomorrow in Rosemont, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. So that will be going on during our show tomorrow. We look forward to getting some updates from there, and of course we'll recap it all for you on Friday's show as well. But we'll take a look at the unofficial media poll. Might be a little surprised where Indiana's picked. It's sure a lot better than some of those darn preseason publications and magazines we've been mentioning over the last month or so since their release. Also in the headlines today, we'll talk about the 5A sectional a bit more, and football, we'll tell you where all the teams, or at least 4 of the 5 teams in that 5-team sectional, are ranked in the most recent AP poll, and we'll tell you about some of the other teams where they're ranked heading into the upcoming postseason after week 9 on Friday night. Also, I want to spend a moment, and I read a blurb in the News and Tribune yesterday And it made me think about this, but I want to give props to a girls basketball player in the area from Jeffersonville who's beginning to really get some recruiting, some pretty serious Division I level recruiting. Her name is Nan Garcia. She's at Jeffersonville, and we'll update you on her here in the headlines coming up in just a few moments as well. Segment number two, Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com is with me. Going to talk a lot of things with Jeff today. Of course, IU basketball, a little IU football maybe as well. But I want to talk some Romeo Langford. There's been a lot of recent updates to some of the NBA draft projections for the next draft coming up, which is in June, and it's hard to believe that it'll be here really at the end of the college basketball season in early April. That's when the attention really, really seems to ramp up on the draft and some of the boards get updated, and you kind of have you get a pretty good idea on where people are projected to go. Some of these guys have been doing it long enough and have so many sources nowadays within the NBA and some of the scouts and the people involved in the selection process that they've got a pretty good idea, at least for those top 5, 6, 7, 8 teams, where they're looking for their pick before the draft even gets here. So I want to talk a little bit about that. I get a lot of questions about Romeo and the draft, and there's some behind-the-scenes stuff going on right now as far as Romeo potentially being a draft pick or maybe even a lotto pick for the upcoming draft as far as research and NBA teams doing their due diligence, not just on Romeo, but on all of the top-level players, I'm sure, that could be considered for first or maybe even second round in the upcoming draft. So we'll talk about that with Jeff as well. And then Jeff, I should say Greg Mengelt, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, he will drop by. We'll have an update on his thoughts, sectional pairings. We'll talk some other local Southern Indiana sports headlines. We'll do all that later in the program today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll get $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Headline number one today is Big Ten media picks. This is the unofficial, official it's called, Big Ten preseason media poll. It's organized by Brendan Quinn. We've actually had Brendan on this radio program before. He's a former Michigan beat writer for one of the papers in Michigan. Now he's with The Athletic, and he covers also Michigan and Michigan State. Also Adam Jardy, another person we've had on this program that covers Ohio State for the Columbus Dispatch. They get together, they select some of who they feel are the better, more sound media that cover Big Ten Conference teams on a regular basis. I think it was 28 writers from around the league had to predict their full order of finish from 1 to 14, also preseason all-league team, preseason player of the year, and preseason freshman of the year. This year, the information was just released by Quinn earlier this morning. Michigan State, number one, according to this, we'll call it unofficial, official Big Ten media poll. Michigan, number two. Indiana, number three. Now, if you look at the points, Michigan had 386 points. I'm not sure exactly the point system for this because, again, there's only 28 riders that vote. Michigan, 360 votes, so they were 16 points behind, we'll call them, Michigan State. Indiana, third, but it's a distant third at 305. So there's a 55-point difference between third-place Michigan or second-place Michigan and third-place Indiana. Third place in the conference by riders like Brendan Quinn and Adam Jardy and Alex Bozich and Jeff Rabjohns and people that covered not just Indiana but the Big Ten Conference on a very detailed basis. These are not preseason publication guys that are writing a story after talking to a few people about the Big Ten for this year and looking at returning names and newcomer names and seeing a standout like Romeo or a big loss like whoever it may be from last year's team for any of the Big Ten teams. These are people that cover it, that follow the recruiting, that talk to the coaches, that are in tune with the schools, that are at the events, the preseason practices. They're there, and they're making this vote really close to the start of the season as far as games and scrimmages go. So this is the one to look at. This is the one that if you're going to put any stock in anything that's voted on or happens before the regular season, this would be the one. Indiana third. And if I was voting, I'd have Indiana third, too. I thought about that this morning looking at this thing. I think Indiana has a really great chance. There are some unknowns. There's unknowns about Romeo at the college level. There are sure a lot of unknowns about some of the other incoming freshmen that we expect might have a chance to play. There are unknowns with returning players. Will Deron Davis be back healthy? And if he is healthy, will he be able to advance his game to the next level? Other returning players like Devontae Green, we've heard a lot of good things. We've seen some good things. Will that translate into good things when Big Ten Conference play gets here coming up later this season? Who knows? But as far as projections and fillings and newcomers and returning players, Indiana has the leadership. They've got the talent. They've got the interesting newcomers. They've got one of the more interesting newcomers in all of college basketball in Romeo Langford. I think they're third in the Big Ten Conference. Now, with the season beginning, we'll see if they can uphold our thoughts and a lot of other media thoughts as far as the Big Ten Conference goes. But Indiana third. I'll go ahead and run down through the next handful. Nebraska was fourth. Purdue fifth. Wisconsin sixth. I would like to have seen Wisconsin up maybe even behind Indiana. Maryland seventh. Ohio State eighth. And that's where I'll stop. Minnesota, Iowa, Penn State, Northwestern, Illinois, Rutgers. They were the next listing all the way down to 14th place, which is Rutgers. One writer, Dylan Burkhart, he covers Michigan. He picked Indiana to win the league. Three writers picked the Hoosiers to finish sixth. And again, all these names of these writers, these are credible guys. These are guys that I read and respect, and I'm sure a lot of you guys do as well. Not a preseason publication with somebody just doing a overview, a survey of the team. First team, all Big Ten, according to this vote of the media. Carson Edwards of Purdue, he was unanimous. Ethan Happ of Wisconsin, he was unanimous. James Palmer of Nebraska, Cassius Winston of Michigan State, and Jawan Morgan of Indiana. Jawan would have been fifth in voting. There were a couple unanimous, and then it dropped down to Palmer and then Winston. Morgan would be the fifth of five places on that first team, all Big Ten team, but he gets there. Also getting some votes for first team all Big Ten, Nick Ward, Jordan Murphy, Romeo Langford, Charles Matthews, Anthony Cowan, Xavier Simpson, and Isaiah Livers. So Langford, a freshman, hadn't played a Big Ten game yet. He would have been, I guess, if you continue the first team, he would have been eighth, according to the votes of the media surveyed for this poll. So interesting to see what other people that probably follow the conference as a whole think about Indiana, and I think that's a much more accurate and reasonable prediction than having, I think, one of the publications had Indiana 6th and 7th maybe. To me, that is way out of line, way high, but we'll see. Nothing is for sure. Anybody has a right to make a prediction until the season gets here. Next headline I want to mention is some high school football, and we're going to talk some high school football a little later in the program, but the AP poll, I guess there'll be one more Associated Press poll in football once we get through week 9 of football, but how about this? I have spent a lot of time before the draw and after the draw, and I'm sure I will continue promoting the 5A section on how good and competitive all of those games have a chance of being. Of course, right out of the gate, New Albany and Columbus East will hook up. The winner of that game will get Seymour, likely. The winner of that game will likely get Bedford. So whoever comes out of that Columbus East-New Albany game has a real, real tough path to a sectional championship. We'll see what happens. But in that 5A sectional, Columbus East at 6-2, they are number 3 in 5A across the state of Indiana. Right behind them is Bedford North Lawrence. They are 4 at 7-1. And those two teams play each other in week 9 of high school football, essentially for the Hoosier Hills Conference championship game on this Friday night. Others receiving votes in 5A, New Albany is 11th in that poll. Seymour is 13th in that poll. Four of the five teams in the 5A sectional are in the top 15 in the rankings of the Associated Press heading into week 9, the final week of high school football in the state. It almost is reminiscent of the rankings and the statewide recognition that New Albany, Jeffersonville, Floyd Central had in 4A basketball heading into that sectional this past March. All three teams were in the top 10. All three teams were receiving a lot of votes, and all three teams obviously had the talent to maybe win that sectional. So I see the 5A football sectional very similar, and it should be great. I encourage you to get out, even if your team gets beat in week one, get out and see some of those games and continue following high school football in the area. Other teams locally that are ranked, a quick shout out to Charlestown. They are ranked, let's see, that would be 14th in 3A, and Providence as well. I thought I saw the Pioneers ranked in their respective class. Maybe I didn't. Providence is not. Paoli is, and that is who they are, number 7 at 8-0, by the way. That is who Providence, if they can work through their side of the bracket, would likely have to go through to win a sectional championship game in that. So, and Providence is ranked in 2A. I'm just overlooking it right now. But so we have really three local teams ranked from our immediate Clark Floyd area. Providence would be, 11th, 12th, 13th, 15th in that poll of 2A. So Providence in the top 15 according to the latest poll. One other note as well, our final headline for the day. Want to give a little publicity, a little love to Nan Garcia. She's a Jeffersonville girls basketball player. She recently had a number of Division I scholarship offers. She was offered by SIU Edwardsville in Southern Illinois. She was offered by Cincinnati last week, and an offer from IUPUI earlier in the week as well. She's a junior this year. Last year, as just a sophomore, she averaged almost 17 points and 7 rebounds a game for the Lady Red Devils. And I was talking with her coach, Michael Warren, over the weekend. I think she's got an invite to go to Big Blue Madness with some interest from the Kentucky women's basketball program. I know Indiana has been interested in her from a women's side as well. So going to be interesting to see where she lands. But as just a junior, with all the attention that she's already had, perhaps she can play that high major level of college basketball. I know there's a lot of people that have seen her that really think her ceiling is high. So she's a name to watch. And, of course, girls basketball, by the way, it gets started with official practices on Monday, and those games will be here later in November, early November, before you know it, that season will be started. So, interesting, but follow Nan Garcia in girls basketball in the area this year. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Today is Wednesday, and you know what that means. If you buy 3 or 6 traditional or boneless wings, you get 3 or 6 free. That's every Wednesday at Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. That deal is good all day long, from lunchtime coming up to dinner time as well. So make sure you stop by. You buy 3, you get 3. You buy 6, you get 6. If they're boneless, you get free boneless. If they're bone-in, you get free bone-in. A great deal. Phil Caldwell and his team out there, Stephanie as well, they have a great menu, great wings. It's a great place to follow not only Indiana, but sports in Southern Indiana. They cover anything local. If it's got a local representation to it, college-wise or whatever else, it's the place to be to watch sports here in the area. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more on this Wednesday edition of the program. Coming up next is Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com. Lots of IU basketball discussion. Little Romeo Langford NBA talk as well. After this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Big Ten Media Day is just around the corner. IU basketball's first, I guess you could call it secret scrimmage, is coming up very soon. Then, of course, the opening exhibition for the public when they will take on the University of Southern Indiana. And Jeff Rabjohns is with us right now to preview IU basketball, as we do each and every day here on the program. Jeff, in the first segment, as we went through some of the daily headlines, I was mentioning that in a media poll, coming out in front of Big Ten Media Day tomorrow, Indiana was 3rd. A lot of beat writers from all the schools vote on this. And I know we've asked your opinion on where you see Indiana at in the conference heading into the season. Some of the preseason publications, I think, had Indiana as high as maybe number 6. As we get a little closer, a little more near the official start of the first game, now that you've had a chance to put your thoughts together and hear some tidbits and rumors and communicate with some people in Bloomington. Where does Jeff Rabjohns have IU at here in mid-October in the Big Ten Conference preseason view?
You know, I keep going back and forth. I've had them 3, 4, 5, right in there for most of the past couple months. And I think right now, I got them 4th only because some younger guys are going to have to play well. And every once in a while, you get a bad game from a freshman. But I think somewhere around 3, 4, 5 is very reasonable. I think they have a chance to, you know, do very, very well. I just think it's tough to count on freshmen, even really talented freshmen, to be there every game at a high level. Every once in a while, you just, you know, you get a stinker from a freshman. And I think it's a year where you look at the Big Ten, I don't think there's a great team. I think there are a number of very good teams. I think you look at Michigan, Michigan State, Indiana, Nebraska, Wisconsin. I think that's your top group. But I think I get the vibe that, you know, one or two games may separate 3rd from 5th. So I don't think placement necessarily is that big of a deal, because I think this also is a group where while you may lose a game here or there in January, maybe early February, I think it's a group that's going to be playing really good basketball as you get toward the Big Ten tournament and head toward the postseason.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, our guest. You know, some of the fanfare is over as far as the preseason goes now that Hoosier hysteria is behind the team. Of course, Big Ten Media Day is a chance to fans to see players, fans to hear from coaches once again. Then after that, it's a closed-door scrimmage for Indiana. But one of the things that is very interesting is and Pigs was on earlier in the week, and he had some very good comments to repeat and kind of pass along that he had heard about Juwan Morgan. Everybody talks about Juwan being a talented player. You look back to what he did last season, very consistent for the most part for Indiana in good times and bad times for the team. Juwan was often the stable player you could count on in some of the very tough Big Ten games, especially on the road. But I don't know, I think as much as we talk, and this is not just me, this is everybody, as much as we talk about Juwan being a player and the skills that he has to play professional ball at some level when he gets done with college, another thing that's constant about him is his leadership. From the way he handled himself at Media Day, the way he answered questions from the media, very structured person, it seems. Pigs mentioned he's from a military family. It makes all the sense in the world that your senior is going to be in opening practices, the guy that gets that coveted gold jersey based on a plus-minus system that IU uses to kind of have some competitiveness, extra competitiveness in practice and chart players throughout the course of the week. Not ironic that Juwan Morgan wins that thing for the first week. And, again, Pigs had good comments. It's very, very exciting to hear that if you're an IU fan at this point in October.
Well, I think, definitely it's a big deal that Juwan won it. Maybe you might want to call it expected, but I think it's important for guys who have the ability to be leaders, to be the key guys, to do it. Not everybody who has the capability to be the guy goes out there and does it, especially right from the get-go. And not only does Juwan come from a military family, we're talking mom and dad both are in the military. We're talking about a guy who, once upon a time when he was younger, his training was, all right, you're going to get your butt up, son, before the sun rises, and you're going to come run with me, Dad, as I run my guys, you know, enlisted military people, through some stuff. So you're talking about a guy who knows what it's like to see leadership, to hear leadership, to answer the bell every time it rings, because when you're in the military, you know, you don't get to do it 2, 3, 4 days a week. You do it every day. Every time the bell rings, you get up and you get to it. So he really kind of has that sort of just, you know, it's kind of built into him. It's kind of like, you know, this is what he grew up with. This is what he grew up seeing and doing and watching his parents do. And so it's kind of like, in his eyes, it's just a little bit of, this is the way it is. And I remember going down to Missouri when he was still in high school. When IU was, you know, I think he'd already committed. And just, you get to talk to him, you get to talk to his parents. And, you know, you can see ability, you can see potential. But you also, as much as we watch players, you look for intangibles. What are things that might impact how he goes about his business, not just physical tools and skills and all that. And then I just remember walking away from one of those games. I think he actually played against OG in the one game where I got to sit with his parents and talk to them for a while. I just remember walking away thinking, man, this guy, this is one of those guys who has a chance to go above, you know, his production potentially could be above skill level. Just because of all those intangibles. You never know what's going to happen. It doesn't always happen. But I just remember walking away from conversation with his mom and dad going, wow, you know, this is one of those guys that has a chance to be, you know, something above just, you know, okay, basketball player can do A, B, and C on the court. And certainly he's done it. He's done it really well. And I think that's what you want to start practice. And not only did he win the gold jersey, you know, he beat everybody by 31 points. And Archie likes to keep that scoring system kind of private based upon what he's, you know, how he's functioned so far. But that's really notable. I mean, that's, you know, to me, it jumps out not only that Juwan won it, but he won it by 31 points in a week. That's like, okay, he had a really, really good week. And I think if you're an IU fan, you look at not only did that guy win the gold jersey, you look at that he won it by 31 points, and you're going, okay, that's as good as it gets to start practice.
You know, we finally saw a picture of the gold jersey. It's actually a lot nicer than what I thought it may be. I was envisioning kind of like a shimmy that you would put over top your practice gear, but this is an actual Indiana basketball, you know, Adidas printed. The only difference from the regular red practice jerseys, from what I can tell, that are, I'm sure, reversible red and white, this one is gold. But, you know, it's a really interesting concept. I've talked to high school coaches that have done a plus minus deal in practice, and there are all types of different games and contests that players can play within the realm of practice to have a winner for a drill, or a winner for the day, or a winner for the week. But really interesting how these early season practices are going, because there's not a game to look forward to later this week or early next week. There's some time where it's just practice. There haven't been any visitors in practice, you know, high school coaches, no one allowed at IU practices right now. We found that out with the Hoosier Basketball Coaches Association not being able to go over there after their clinic on Saturday. So it's been business-like, it sounds, very business-like for Indiana. But knowing Romeo the way I do, and the way that we all have gotten to know how competitive he is, and I'm sure all those other guys have a very competitive streak as well, to play basketball at that level, you have to. I can't imagine that there's not going to be some fierce competitions for that jersey, especially here in these early preseason practices, we'll call them, where there aren't games to look forward to as often as what they will be down the line.
Excuse me, I sneezed there, so I had to hit the mute button.
No problem.
I hope I didn't blow anybody's eardrums out there. I think it's key time. It's a time of teaching. It's a time of competitiveness. It's a time of, you know, get concepts down. Because while I get time during the summer, which is good, it's not the same is actually having everybody together all the time. You know, because during the summer, you know, you've got a certain number of hours, you know, per player. So sometimes you do things in groups. You may get the guards together one day. You may get the front court guys together the next day. But now, you know, you get everybody together, and you want to kick up the competitive level. You want to kick up the teaching level. And the thing you really want is for guys to actually pick up concepts and implement them. It's one thing for coaches to know thing and teach them. But the big thing is, what can your guys do, and what can they pick up? And also, how fast can they pick it up? And one thing that I've heard a lot of this year is The defense has been so much better. It's not great, but it's been so much better because this year you have older guys who know what's supposed to happen, and they can teach younger guys. Last year, everybody was starting from zero because none of the players really, you know, understood the pack line. Some of the guys really hadn't been taught a whole lot about defense. So everybody was starting from zero last year. This year, you got older guys, and not everybody has to be an older guy. There's you know, some guys just, you know, who were there last year who understand it, can okay, practice is over, freshman or new guy like Evan Fitzner is going, okay, wait, what was that again? Okay, players can help players. And that's a big thing, as you well know. When you get to the point that players can help players, that's really helpful. And I think that's one of the things this year that based upon what I've heard, kind of jumps out. Now, it doesn't mean every practice has been good. Lots of guys have struggled. These are competitive practices. You know, there are moments when freshmen look like freshmen, even good freshmen. But, you know, I think the big thing is this year you have players teaching players, and I think, or at least helping players. And I think that's a big thing heading into this year.
Jeff Rabjohns of Pigs.com is my guest. Jeff is with us Wednesdays on the program. Jeff, we've discussed this on the show before, but even as college basketball is beginning, the preparation for the next NBA draft has long been underway, and that process will get a lot more serious, especially once conference play, some of the big college basketball games get here later in December and into January, I would believe. But Romeo Langford's name is out there, and it's out there in a big way as far as being a potential lotto pick, and he's going to be someone that has a lot of visitors at Indiana, at IU games this season to watch him up close and personal. And as you mentioned to us kind of as a tease earlier, there's a lot of background work that these NBA teams do to interview people, to interview high school coaches, and make sure that they've got their ducks in a row long before the draft gets here. And that's already begun for Romeo Langford.
Yeah, that's well underway for Romeo Langford. I mean, I think everybody knows this, but there are a number of NBA teams that I've talked to that have reached out, and you know, they're fully expecting Romeo in the draft next year. I mean, it's not like they think it's going to happen. It's not like they hear it might happen. I mean, they're functioning like it's a definite thing, and I think that's obviously a reasonable thing. And then one of the things that you kind of, you know, you notice is when NBA teams start calling and doing all the background they do, they do a lot of stuff. A lot of times on freshmen that they think might go in the draft, you know, they'll make those calls in December, early January, something like that. I think I've had 7 NBA teams, you know, already call me, you know, this month, and a couple of them called earlier than that. They were just like, look, you know, he's going to be in the draft. We've got real interest. You know, give us an hour when you have time. We want to go through this stuff. So I think there's a complete and total expectation of Romeo Langford going in the draft. And there are some teams with some very high draft picks who are doing all the background that they normally do, who are getting everything put together so that when basically what a couple teams want to do, maybe more than a couple, when the season starts, they basically want the background to be pretty much done so that they can watch practices, watch games, and make their decisions, and, you know, their basketball decisions. What do we think of his competitive level? What do we think of this? What do we think of skill level? You know, would we take him at 5? Would we take him at 6? Would we take him at 8? All those kind of things. So I think that's not even fair to me say, I think. I know there are NBA teams that are fully expecting him to be in the draft next year, and I know there are teams that really want to be ready to go from the jump because they are serious about Romeo Langford. And I think, you know, where he gets drafted partly depend upon how he plays and, you know, how he does after the season with individual NBA teams and their skill testing and all that. But, you know, right now, yeah, there are teams with very high draft picks who are making sure they are fully prepared to properly observe and evaluate Romeo Langford with the anticipation of potentially drafting him very high next June in the NBA draft.
Very interesting. Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com. Jeff, I want to get into a little recruiting before we let you go. We talked Trace Jackson Davis and Keon Brooks. They've become household names on this program, on the Pigs.com site, just as Romeo Langford's name was a year ago. Big part of that is, number one, they're really talented guys. Number two, they both seem to be sincerely interested in Indiana, and it's a very potential destination for both of them. I don't think anyone would be totally shocked if one or both ends up at Indiana. I think it's maybe even expected that one of them for sure will. But also, they're from the state of Indiana. They're guys that you've probably been following since at least middle school, upper middle school level, and we've been talking about them since freshman and sophomore year. So it makes sense why they are household names. They're Hoosiers. They're from the state. They've played great high school basketball games and been on good teams in recent years. With that, one player we don't talk a lot about is Matthew Hurt, because he's from Minnesota and he isn't from here, but boy, he is good, and he is rated very high in the 2019 class. His recruiting maybe even isn't as far as along as Trace and Keon either. I don't think he has a final list of six or seven schools, but there are sure six or seven people expect to compete for him at this point. Indiana, I believe, is on that list, and it could come down to who gets official visits to find out who he really, out of that group, is serious with. He would be quite a land for Indiana, and I guess Archie Miller, relying on Tom Ostrom for his leadership in this recruitment, since he's from and has been in that area recruiting and involved in basketball in the past. But, boy, Matthew Hurt would be a great addition for Indiana on a national level as well.
Yeah, he's a really talented player. And, you know, he made a couple comments out at USA Basketball, because he was sort of advised to, okay, you know, when people ask you, just say something nice. And he talked about the main schools that have been recruiting him, which have been the main group for going back to, I would say, at least May, maybe even a little before that. And some people in the media played it up like, you know, top seven or top six or whatever. And it's like, it's not that. That's not, there was no announcement made. There's just, you know, a kid who doesn't like talking about it very much, just talked about some of the core schools. But first of all, he's a guy who is very sort of, you know, how do you want to say that? He's almost ambivalent toward, you know, his recruitment. Like, you know, I'm going to pick where I want to go when I want to pick it. I don't really have to, like, you know, run here, run there, do official, win school calls, and run around the country and be pulled and tugged and all that. It's kind of like, look, I'm going to do it when I want to do it. You guys all chill out, you know. And it's not a, you know, anything bad at all. In fact, it's almost the opposite. It's kind of like a guy who has a real good handle who he is and how he wants to handle this. So I wouldn't get spun up on any comment that you ever hear from Matthew Hurt until he decides where he is going to take his official visit. That's what's going to matter. He's now a senior. Seniors are allowed 5 official visits. For those who read all the technical stuff, yes, the rules have changed. You get 10 officials. If you are younger, you get 5 as a junior, 5 as a senior. There are time frames for it. So he has a max of 5 official visits because he is now currently enrolled as a senior in high school. So where he takes his official visits is going to matter. The rest of the stuff, don't worry about all the little comments that get made or all that stuff. Right now, you're talking about Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, Indiana, and a couple other schools that are legitimately involved. But I really think there's probably 5 main schools that are involved right now. Those being those 5, Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, Indiana. I think those are the real 5 that are involved. Is he going to take all 5 official visits? I don't know. You know, again, he's not a guy who believes he has to run to and fro every time some college coach gets on the phone with him. He's very comfortable in his own shoes. So we're going to see what he does. I think it's going to be tough for Indiana to get him out of Minnesota, but Indiana does have a chance. They've had him on campus once before. So they're one of the schools that's legitimately involved. It's not a courtesy listing or anything like that. And he is unbelievably skilled. He's about 6'9", almost 6'10", very good shooter, can handle the ball, can function inside out. He's not a big by any stretch of anybody's imagination. Maybe if you remember Keith Van Horn from days gone by, he's a little bit like that kind of player. But the ability to handle the ball, the way he can catch passes, keep the ball above his shoulders, just snap off threes, the ball never going below his shoulders, just the precision that he has in his movements and his skill level. He's a really talented player. He knows how to score. He knows how to play. There's so many areas on the floor where you can put that guy, and he can function to score and be a threat to the defense. He's a tremendous player. So whoever gets him is going to get a very, very talented offensive player.
Jeff Rabjohns, Pigs.com, always loads of great information and tremendous player breakdowns as well. You can tell Jeff is really on top of the recruiting side of things and, of course, much more. Jeff, thank you, as always, for taking some time out to join us. Always great information, and I look forward already to talking with you again next week.
Matt, always appreciate it, my friend. You have a great week. We'll see you here soon.
Absolutely. Again, Jeff Rabjohns, at Jeff Rabjohns on Twitter, Pigs.com, the website where his work can be found. And, again, we're very appreciative of Jeff coming on each week. Some really interesting stuff. Jeff is so connected. He talks to the NBA people. He's connected, obviously, with Indiana, but college basketball and recruiting as a whole, there's not many high school coaches or AAU coaches or whoever you need to know in the recruiting game that Jeff doesn't have a contact with, so we appreciate his time. We'll head to a break. We'll come back and talk some local headlines with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. I want to talk more about that 5A sectional in football. I've been promoting that. I'm excited about that. We'll talk that with Jeff. We'll talk other sectional pairings with Jeff. We'll talk some other headlines of local interest as well. Coming up next in our final segment of this Wednesday show, it's the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back for a final segment with Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Greg is with me Wednesdays on this show. He's with me Friday nights on our high school football kickoff show. And, Greg, you probably have a good idea about where I'd like to begin our conversation today. Now that the pairings are out, I have been really talking up that 5A sectional and how competitive I think the games have the chance of being. We now know the format of that bracket, and I got to like that first pick, Columbus East and New Albany, right out of the gate. That first game, I should say, right out of the gate, two really good athletic teams are going to play each other, and that sectional each week of the postseason, and I hate to get too far ahead of ourselves with New Albany and Floyd Central coming up this week to wrap up regular season play, but each week of that 5A sectional should just be tremendous.
Yeah, and I think the other three teams really like that draw as well. Having the probably the at least the two most talented teams facing each other the first game, the only first-round game, giving the other three teams a legitimate shot to win the sectional, and there's not been a lot of times those teams have had a legitimate shot to win a sectional because Columbus East has been so good. So, and of course, on the other side, you got Floyd Central and Bedford North Lawrence, who a couple weeks ago played about as contentious a game probably as we saw all year, with probably more penalty yards than yards gained for large parts of the second half of that game. So, interesting matchups all around.
Let's get back to regular season, though. New Albany, Floyd Central this week. It's a great rivalry game, a good way to wrap up the regular season of play. It brings the fans out, brings a lot of interest out, of course, for this rivalry game. New Albany, I think you got to list as the favorite in this game, but Floyd Central has done some things at times this season. They've won some key games. They've played some good minutes against quality teams, even in games they haven't been able to win, that I think it could still be a very competitive contest.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. If you look at it, you know, New Albany, with the exception of the Bedford game, and Floyd Central, with the exception of the Columbus East game, have been really good on defense, both sides, both teams. Even those games, there were kind of some extenuating circumstances to why they didn't play very well. So, yeah, I expect a low-scoring game. I think New Albany's the better team. They're certainly the more athletic team. But I expect them to win. But I would not be surprised if it's a very low-scoring game that kept Floyd Central in it.
Greg, volleyball sectionals begin this week. In fact, some of the action in the books last night at the various locations from 4A all the way down to 1A. Providence playing up because of the success factor and the number of points that they've compiled in recent state tournament appearances. They finished the season ranked number 2 in Class 4A. They're a 2A team by school enrollment. They're expected to get through this sectional and, of course, maybe make a run, who knows how far, maybe to the state championship game perhaps. But unbelievable. We've talked about this a few weeks ago, but unbelievable how good they are. And even playing up not one but two classes based on the points that they've accumulated, they're still right there at the very top.
Yeah, I had wrote a column earlier this week calling – Terry Parrica, the coach of the decade with 2 years left to go, you know, coach of the decade for any sport in our area, because it's been just an incredible run for them. You know, they lose Patricia Mattingly and they just roll on. They lose Marissa Horning and they just roll on, and it doesn't really matter. And I think they're the favorites in the South. Getting through that semi-state is going to be very difficult. And then, of course, Yorktown, which is also playing up a class, by the way, is number 1. I think they could face each other kind of in a rubber match. They've played each other twice in state championship matches, and they've each won one. Of course, those were in 3A, and this is 4A. So, both programs are very impressive, and I think most people expect them to meet in the state championship.
When it comes to sports in our area, I hope that people that maybe are just basketball fans or maybe just have followed their kid at a specific school understand how lucky and blessed we are to have just an amazing number of players that go on to play, even at high, high levels of college sports in their respective sport. You and I get off on this so much talking about the different, you know, can you believe this? Can you believe that? Well, it's unbelievable what comes out of this area. It's also unbelievable the support and the fan interest we still have in high school sports. I talk to friends in other parts of the country, or even other parts of the state, and it just isn't the case. So when I hear you talk about volleyball and some of the storylines that are forthcoming with that state tournament underway, and, of course, we're excited about the football tournament being here. There's other sports going on right now as well. There's commitments from kids all the time going to college. Some we're able to talk about, some we don't, but it's just amazing.
Yeah, it's the volleyball talent in this area it's higher than any other sport that we have, and that includes basketball. You talk about Division I players all over the place, and then of course we've had a girl from New Albany goes to Penn State and become their best player from a national power from New Albany right away, and are one of their best players. Kentucky and Purdue and Navy and just all over the place. And man, if you want to see some fun high school sports action, these volleyball sections are amazing. The Silver Creek Brownstown on Saturday is going to be fantastic. And then, of course, some of those regionals and semi-states. They're just some of the most fun events of the year, honestly. And the quality, the level of quality of volleyball down here, you just kind of have to see it to believe it.
Greg Bingelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with me. You can read a lot of the topics we talk about each week, our stories as well at newsandtribune.com/sports. Again, newsandtribune.com/sports. Greg, before we let you go, so much going on out there. Anything that I've missed? I know there's a lot of sports moving on in their state tournaments. Fall sports, other than football, fall sports will be wrapped up before you know it. Most of the tournaments, once they start, they move very quickly. Football is the one that does take some time to play out, obviously. But anything else you want to highlight from this past week?
Yeah, speaking of talent, for the, I believe the fourth time in 8 years, we'll have a team at the state finals for tennis. Floyd Central beat Jasper 4-1 on Saturday to clinch a spot in the state finals. And, of course, Jeff had been 3 of the last 5 years to the state finals. So our area and boys tennis, and, of course, we know about the girls tennis with the state runner-up team and a state champion player. And now the boys are doing some interesting things as well. So, Floyd Central back at state for the first time in a long time. And Robert Kleeman, who took over for Hall of Famer Rick Miller, getting them to the state finals. So congratulations to them. That was they've had a very impressive season. Of course, ranked 4th in the state. So you have to like their chances to advance even at state.
Greg Mingell, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Greg, we'll talk again Friday night in the kickoff show. We'll go through all the local games and get your thoughts on week 9 of high school football at that point. Thanks for the chat today. We'll catch up to you soon.
Thanks, Matt.
That wraps things up for a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back on Thursday. Thursday, we've got Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex will be in Chicago at the Big Ten Media Day. Also on Thursday, we'll hear from Matt Weaver. We'll talk more high school football and more on our program tomorrow. Catch you then right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.